We've gathered up a pretty good group this morning. Attendance has improved since I made announcements a few minutes ago. I am so glad that you've all come today to be a part of our Sunday morning worship service. We're going to have a great service this morning and already have. I'll assure you, I pray the music has been special to you. I love that. One of my favorite parts of Christmas is the music. I listen to it all year long, hit and miss. But I love Christmas music, and it's so special what we celebrate today. As a rule, pastors, when we deliver our message, we will read a verse or two or three, and maybe a four or five, you know, and then we'll spend 25 minutes or 30 minutes or too long expounding upon that passage of Scripture and such. I want to do something a little different this morning. I do this every year, the last Sunday before Christmas, and usually do it on Sunday night, but our kids program tonight. I'm going to read a lot more Scripture than I give exposition this morning, all right? And I don't try to follow along. I'm going to go from here to there and here to there. And such, but I want you to listen to basically almost everything that we have in the Scriptures that deals with the birth of Christ. Now, as we read about the birth of Christ, we have the prophecies of the Old Testament, we have the proclamation and the accounts of it in the books of Matthew and Luke. Now, remember, Mark and John do not deal with the birth of Christ at all. And such. And I want you just to absorb what God's Word has to say to us about the birth of our Savior. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating Christ. Amen. We're celebrating the greatest gift by all means that was ever given. The gift of the only begotten Son of God as He sent His Son. A few years later, the gift of redemptive sacrifice as that Son gave His life. The gift of victory over death, hell, and the grave as 3 days after that, the Son rose from the grave to give us the hope of eternal life. Folk, I pray that this Christmas season has been fun for you so far. I pray that this coming week, and I know you guys, you've got everything finished, it's all done, you're all ready, it's going to be a kind of a week of leisure up to the weekend, and I know the truth of that too. But I pray that as you go through this week, that you'll really focus on Christ. I know you've got a lot to do, and I want you to do those things, and I want you to have fun with those things. I want you to have fun with the things that you do with family and friends. But folk, we've got to remember, it's all about Jesus. This morning, I think about the birth of Christ. I want to go back to the beginning. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of time as we know it, the beginning of events that transpire in a way that we can relate to them, because remember, for God there is no beginning, and praise God there is no end. John, again, not really referring to the birth of Christ, but he tells us about the beginning. And he talks about Jesus, and he uses, I think you could say, an analogy to refer to Christ as the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. We go back into that dateless past, and folk, Jesus was there. We move forward, we don't know how long, but we know it was about 700 years before the birth of Christ. We've studied this the last 2 weeks. And in Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet Isaiah, God through the prophet Isaiah, says, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Out of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows on this wise. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. So this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that prophet Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, saying, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around about them. Then the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which are to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the laws of Moses were complete, this would have been about 44 days old, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And they also came to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came, being led by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed or praised God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his, Jesus' mother, marveled at him, at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that their thoughts, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him to all those who looked for the redemption of Israel. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men. These wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, but out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called for the wise men, determined from them that what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had come into the house, they saw that young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we think about Christmas, let us think about Jesus, prophesied 700 years before his birth in great detail. The very first prophecy that we find of Jesus is actually found in Genesis chapter 3. A promise to Eve that she would bear a child. We know that that speaks of descendants many, 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 many generations later. But he would crush the head of the serpent, and that he would give us that redemptive victory that is ours today. As the birth of Jesus was as on this wise, Mary and Joseph were, under Hebrew tradition, what we would call engaged. They had not married yet. They had remained pure. And they were not married yet. Joseph found out that she was expecting, and he wanted to privately put her away because of the shame and the reproach that would be there. But no, the angel of the Lord said, "No, don't worry about that. For that which is conceived in her is conceived of the Holy Spirit of God." Folks, let me tell you, Joseph acted as an earthly father for Jesus. And we don't know how long, at least until he was 12. And after that, Joseph is never mentioned again. But let me tell you today that the Father of Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is today, he was in the manger of Bethlehem, the Son of God. Oh, how glorious it is today. He was the Son of God, and he was born there in Bethlehem. Not just by coincidence. Now, there was the census, the registration for the taxation by the Roman government. Everyone had to go to their hometown. Therefore, Joseph, being of the lineage of David, of the tribe of Judah, would go to Bethlehem, and there he would register. But the reasoning for that was not just to satisfy the Roman government, but to fulfill that prophecy of Zechariah that said about that little town, Bethlehem, not the greatest, not the largest of towns, but the place where Jesus would be born. There in that little village on that evening, there was no room in the inn for Jesus. for Mary and Joseph. They were late getting to that city, that town, I'm sure, because of her condition. They traveled slowly. It was a several-day journey for them to come from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about 2 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And they traveled there, and there was no place for them. One of the great tragedies of all time is that today, in the vast majority of hearts in the world today, there's no room for Jesus. They don't have room. They won't make room. They don't have time. They won't make time. Folk, this morning, let us make time and let us make place for Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives and in our mind in a way that we never have before. Because I believe we are living in those last days. I pray that we in this building this morning will see Jesus when He comes the next time. We're going to see Him living or dead, but I would love to be a part of that rapture that comes. As Jesus was born that night, that evening, an angel of the Lord appeared, not to the hierarchy and the royalty in Jerusalem, not in the palaces of the king of Jerusalem, not to the Herod of the day of Jerusalem, not to the Roman emperors that controlled the world at that time, but the angel of the Lord came to announce the birth of Jesus to the humble, common, everyday men, the shepherds. They were out in the fields, tending their sheep, protecting them, watching over them. Oh, and how glorious that angel appeared, and I believe the night sky was brightened like noontime. And that angel made that glorious announcement that I always say, and I love to say, is what I believe one of the two greatest announcements that has ever been made to humanity. And that's where that angel spoke to them. And he said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now that other greatest saying is about 33 and a half years later, when again an angel of God spoke to the ladies at the empty tomb and said, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen." That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate. Something I want you to notice about those who heard about Jesus. They all worshiped Him. They all rejoiced in Him. And they all shared Him with others. We see that with the shepherds. We see that with Simeon. We see that with Anna. They told others about Him. A little while later, and we don't really know how long, the wise men from the east, it says they saw His star in the east. They were in the east when they saw His star. The star was in the west. It would be that way. For it shone over where they were. Were they still in Bethlehem? Very likely. Probably not still in the manger. By that time they had found lodging. But wherever they were, those wise men saw that unique light to the west. And they looked there and they saw that, and these were scholars, these were wise men, wise in the sense of highly educated men. These were men from the area of Babylon at that time, and they were very well versed in astronomy and such as that. And they knew enough about Hebrew prophecy from the Babylonian captivity. They had heard about this occasion. And so they made their travel, which would have been probably a few weeks. We don't know. They made their travel following that guiding star. And they came to Jerusalem. And they went to the palace of the king. For a newborn king had been born. Surely he would be there. But he was not. And they spoke with Herod and found out, and Herod inquired about this and inquired with his great wise men. And Herod said, "Oh, when you find him, come and tell me where he is so that I may go worship him." Herod's objective was to find him and to kill the baby Jesus, to the point that he had all of the babies in that region below 2 years old killed. The Lord intervened, and through a divine dream, they were told not to go back to Herod. What was that great light that shone in the sky that the wise men followed? What was that great light? Oh, now modern theology, unfortunately, at times, and certainly science will say, well, it could have been a comet. It could have been the alignment of planets that caused them to appear as just one very, very bright star. No, let me tell you what that light was. It was the glory of God shining down in a specific location. Amen. You might see a comet cross the sky. There was one did recently, just in the last few days. But you know what? It didn't shine a particular light at a particular spot. The planet sometimes do align in a wonderful way that it makes an extremely bright what appears to be a star. But it doesn't shine in a specific spot on the ground. Folk, that light was the glory of God shining down upon the glory of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. And it led men to Jesus. Folk, God's glory as we have it today in the Word of God will lead men to Jesus. We must show them that light. Even these wise men, they came and they worshiped Jesus. They were idolaters. They were pagans. They were heathens. But they came and they worshiped. They worshiped that little baby because they recognized and understood who he was. They recognized and understood the purpose of what was going on, even as idolatrous pagan. Not only that, but they brought him gifts. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts were all very significant pertaining to the life of Jesus, but they were also very, very practical. God is providing for Joseph and Mary. They're very shortly going to have to flee to Egypt for the protection of Jesus, the baby. They're going to need means of support. They're going to need a means of living. All of these were very valuable that they could use for that purpose. God the Father took care of His newborn Son. God the Father will take care of us today, has taken care of us today through His newborn Son. And folk, again, even the wise men went away rejoicing, telling others about Jesus. We celebrate Christmas, the festivities, family, church, coming together, the exchanging of gifts that has somewhat its beginning in this passage where the wise men brought gifts to Jesus. We decorate, we just honor, we do things. But folk, most importantly, this Christmas season, what we need to do is tell others about Jesus. We need to celebrate His birth. We need to celebrate what we have in Jesus Christ today. We need to celebrate the fact that the Word Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us celebrate Christmas with that this morning. Let us celebrate the prophecies of Isaiah Let us celebrate the prophecies of so many of the Old Testament prophets. Let us celebrate the fact that Jesus was wonderfully unique and that he was born of the Holy Spirit, therefore fulfilling the requirements of a sinless, perfect sacrifice that provides for us the hope of a sinless, perfect eternity in his presence. When we see Jesus, we will not see him as a little baby. We will see him as the conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. We will see him as the returning Savior to take us to be with him. We will see him as the ruler of this literal globe that we live on today for 1,000 years, and then we will be ushered into that eternal kingdom where we will interact and see him as our God and our Savior, our Heavenly Father, forever and ever and ever without end. Folks, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate more than just his birth, although that is what we celebrate. Some will say, was he really born on December 25th? We have no earthly idea, none whatsoever. There's as much speculation and debate about that as anything. We don't know when Jesus was born. But we've got a day set aside to celebrate his birth, and let's celebrate it. We celebrate the birth of our children. We celebrate the birth of our family by remembering their birthday every year. Folk, let's celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate his birth in a way this morning, in a way this week, that will honor him, that will tell others about him, and that will proclaim what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. And one more thing about that scene. That angel, singular, came and told the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the sky was filled. As I've said before, I believe from horizon to horizon, anywhere you looked, if you looked straight up, if you looked in any direction, you saw a heavenly host of God's angelic beings, and I'm telling you, the choir of all choirs singing glory to God in the highest and on peace, earth, goodwill to men. I ask you this question this morning. Is this Jesus that we have read about and we have talked about today, is he your Savior? If he is not, please don't leave this facility without Jesus. Don't depend upon anything else. Don't depend on your goodness, your good works, your rituals. Don't depend upon anything but Jesus for that eternal salvation. Child of God, this morning, you know Christ is your Savior, and you're sure of that. Is he the center focal point of your life? Not just as we celebrate Christmas, not just as in a few months we celebrate Easter, but every hour of every day. If not, make him that today. In full obedience to his will for your life, whatever it might be. This morning, if you have a need of any kind, when we're dismissed in just a moment, I want you to get one of us men aside, get me aside after we're finished, and folk, we'll talk about whatever you need in your life this morning. I want us to stand together. I want us to have a hymn of invitation to give you an opportunity this morning to celebrate Jesus by being totally and completely obedient to his will in whatever way